those who have come to realize that the world's political, religious, military, economic, and media institutions are corrupt, that they've become counterproductive, and that they cannot be fixed. If you would like to participate in this discussion of those topics at any time over the next 3 hours, you're invited. Toll free at 877-300-7645. I'm going to continue my review of President Barack Hussein Obama's speech to the United Nations because it is important. It's important for two reasons. One is it's a window into an extraordinarily evil, maniacal mind. Barack Hussein Obama is amongst the most hypocritical, delusional, dishonest, incompetent, counterproductive leaders in American history. And so in this speech, you see into this man's dark soul, into the very heart of evil. I do not say that as a partisan. I'm not a Republican. I'm not a conservative politically. I am anti-political. I would speak as harshly of George W. Bush as I speak of Barack Hussein Obama. So this is not politically motivated. It is simply an analysis of the man's words and a correlation between his statements and reality. And they do not correlate. Second, we are just a dozen years away now from the emergence on the world scene of the most infamous character in modern history. The emergence of the Torahless one, mislabeled the Antichrist by Christians. This man, who will in all likelihood emerge from Macedonia, a place where the Greek and Roman empires overlapped, as is a requirement from the Daniel prophecy. A man who in all likelihood will embrace Christianity, but will be a sympathizer of Islam and of socialist secular humanism. His speech to the United Nations will read almost identically to the one that President Barack Hussein Obama gave 2 days ago. The differences will be negligible. The agenda will be identical. The theme, the purpose, all of it, the rhetoric, all the same. So if you want to know what the Torahless one, misnamed the Antichrist, will be like, what he will say, you will find it in the words of Barack Hussein Obama. And with that chilling introduction, I wish to continue. This is the second part of this series on Obama's declaration to the United Nations. He continued, Russia's actions in Ukraine challenge this post-war order. He was just speaking errantly about the causes of death and the causes of friction that arose out of and caused the First and Second World Wars. And for those who listened to the program yesterday, you recognize that what he said in summation of them was completely inaccurate. Because in truth, the reason for the First World War, it completely undermines his edict. He wants globalization. He wants a new world order. A controlled world, an allied world, and it was alliances between countries that initiated the First World War. And it was the world trying to impose what it felt were international norms on the country defeated in that war that led to the next war. The very kind of imposition of forced unified treaties that this man is advocating is what led to the next war. The integration of humanity, as we learned in his previous statements, his goal is to unify humanity, to integrate all nations, and to do so in a command and control regimen, which is either fascism or communism. Take your pick. That every time integration of nations has been attempted, it has led to the very things that he says are the antithesis of integration. Integration of nations has led to war and terror, fear. The very things that he promises integration will deliver. And so he didn't want to give you an accurate assessment of the cause and consequence of the last two world wars, because they are in complete opposition in reality to his premise. But so is the situation in Ukraine, where everything this man says now is hypocritical, errant, counterproductive, revolting, in that it is not only untrue, but the actual perpetrator is the very man who is pretending to be the peacemaker. Let's listen to his words. Russia's actions in Ukraine challenge this post-war order. Again, order. A new world order. Here are the facts. Now, he's going to lay out the facts, but they aren't the facts. In fact, what he says is untrue. His presentation that follows of the facts is just laughable. After the people of Ukraine mobilized popular protest and calls for reform, that's not true. The United States instigated the riots that took place in the Ukraine that were violent and ultimately overturned the popularly elected government of the Ukraine and ushered in a regime of overt liars and thieves. It was not a popular protest, even in Kiev. The popularly elected government was deposed. Was the minority with clubs and Molotov cocktails that prevailed. So after the people of Ukraine mobilized popular protests and calls for reform, their corrupt president fled. Gee, because the gangs threatened to kill him. Was he corrupt? Yeah, every Ukrainian's corrupt. Almost everyone that runs for political office is corrupt. Was he any more corrupt than the goons that occupy that position now? No. Against the will of the government in Kiev, which is now a government that toppled through force, a popular elected government, Crimea was annexed. You notice how twisted this is. Against the will of the government in Kiev, Crimea was annexed. Well, the Crimeans voted 97% to leave the thugs in Kiev. Why not just tell the truth? What do the government's will in Kiev have to do with the fate of the people living in Crimea? Oughtn't the only thing that matter in terms of the political allegiance and association of the people of Crimea be the will of the people in Crimea, not in Kiev, for crying out loud? Why is the will of the government of Kiev even relevant as it relates to the fate the associations of the people of Crimea. You speak of the will of the government in Kiev, of the thugs taking control. And you don't speak of the 97% referendum taken behalf of the people in Crimea to say we don't want any part of them? And you're going to blame Russia for that? It was a repudiation of the United States. A repudiation of the thugs in Kiev. Russia poured arms into eastern Ukraine. That's not true. Poured arms. That's absolutely not true. Completely inconsistent with the evidence. The arms that were deployed in Donetsk and Luhansk were confiscated from Ukrainian military bases, not from Russia. And the only reason that they were confiscated from the Ukrainian military bases is that the ethnic Russians in Donetsk and Luhansk didn't want any part of the Kiev regime. The government they had elected had been violently deposed. And now they felt, and they were valid in feeling this way, that there's no reason they should be forced to remain allied with a country that was not the country that they elected. They chose to belong to a country that was upended. And the government that they elected was run out of town by a bunch of murderous thugs. They also voted over 90% in favor of separation from the Kiev regime. And they only responded with weapons because America sent in the dogs. We sent in NATO. We sent in the head of the CIA. We sent in our spies, our intelligence officers, and our money, $25 billion, and ordered them, the Kiev regime, to attack the Russians. The lie is that Russia poured arms into the Ukraine, fueling violent separatists and a conflict that has killed thousands. No. That's an outright lie. There is no evidence whatsoever that Russia provided weapons to the Luhansk and Donetsk regions. There are pictures, satellite pictures of some modest, 20, 30 vehicles lined up near the border. But there's no indication if those vehicles are part of the Ukrainian military, a group of vehicles that were part of the arsenals of the Ukraine in the Donetsk and Luhansk region, or if they came from Russia. No way to tell. None. Don't even know if they were used, and it was very late in the conflict. At the point that they actually appear, at that point, you have a full armed assault by the American-funded Kiev regime using warplanes, bombs, artillery, and tanks against two ethnic Russian cities, Luhansk and Donetsk. And at that point, should a country have provided the means to defend the people against a slaughter by their government, it would have been moral. But even then, there's no evidence of it. This conflict was not caused because of Russia pouring arms into the eastern Ukraine. It was caused because America encouraged, and we, the Russians have provided a very nasty tape recording of America's leaders in the State Department actually encouraging the thugs. America fully acknowledges that the tape is real. and that we did so because we wanted the Ukraine to be part of NATO. And so the perpetrator of this conflict that left 3,000 dead is America. It's not Russia. Russia didn't fund the violence. Russia didn't send in its military advisors. America did. And all the folks in Crimea and Donetsk and Luhansk wanted was to no longer be part of a government of thugs. The government that they had elected no longer existed. It was eradicated, driven out of town by an angry mob. His view of this, his presentation of this, is the antithesis of what's true. Then he says, when a civilian airliner was shot down from the areas that these proxies controlled, bull crap. Bull. They weren't proxies. They were ethnic Russians. Almost everyone who was engaged in the battle had been a Russian citizen at some time in their life. Early in their life. They weren't proxies. If you wanted a proxy, it was the Ukrainian military, a bankrupt country that America was funding to attack Russians. The Kiev regime was the proxy, not the ethnic Russians. Says they refused to allow access to the crash for days. That's not true either. It's just not true. When Ukraine started to reassert control over its territory, the thug government of Kiev launched an all-out military offensive against Luhansk and Donetsk. An all-out military offensive. Reestablished control. Russia gave the pretense of merely supporting the separatists and moved troops across the border. There's no evidence that Russia moved troops across the border. There were plenty of Russian separatists to engage against the military of the Kiev regime. It's not true. It's an absolute lie. He then says, this is a vision of a world in which might makes right. A world in which one nation's borders can be withdrawn by another. Wait a minute. Who's the mightiest nation on earth? What is the nation that claims that it's right and uses its might? It's not Russia. They're not invading anybody. It's America, pal. Wake up. Recognize who you are. Look in the mirror. Imagine a nation with a military and intelligence apparatus that is larger than the rest of the world's combined. Imagine the nation that is the only country on earth that routinely invades other countries with its military. That the leader of that country is scolding a country that has not done so in any material way over the last decade. And yet he says this is a vision of a world where might makes right. The U.S. military spending from a size perspective, from a technology perspective, 10 times greater than the Russian. It's not even a comparison. It's David and Goliath on steroids. Moreover, you've got the United States bombing in Yemen, bombing in Libya, supplying the weapons to Syria, bombing in Syria, bombing in Iraq, invading Afghanistan. We even started the last war that the Russians were engaged in, America started, and that was in Afghanistan. And this hypocritical buffoon stands up in front of the world and pounds his chest and scolding the Russians, saying this vision of a this is a vision of a world which might makes right. when we're the perpetrators, America, of might and claiming that our might makes us right? We're the country that redraws borders as we see fit, that changes out government regimes as we see fit. He says that America stands for something different. No, that's what America stands for. We believe that right makes might. America hasn't been on the right side of any issue in so long, I can't remember. America, it was wrong to invade Iraq. We invaded Iraq on lies. We invaded Vietnam on lies, for crying out loud. We invaded Afghanistan on a pile of lies. We broke both countries. We made bad situations much worse. We were wrong when we bombed Libya. We were wrong when we supported the Muslim Brotherhood. We were wrong when we supported the military junta in Egypt. We were wrong when we partnered with Pakistan to attack Afghanistan. We were wrong. It's not right. That bigger nations should not be able to bully smaller ones. And why is America bombing in Syria, bombing in Iraq, bombing in Libya? Why? Why do we bomb in Pakistan? This is just pathetic. And then he says that people should be able to choose their own future. So when the Crimeans vote 97% to choose a different future than America wanted them to choose, then that's not acceptable. When the Russians in Luhansk and Donetsk voted over 90% to disassociate with Kiev, we don't count those votes either. That doesn't matter. When the Awakening Program Sunni Muslims in Iraq decided to join the Islamic State, that doesn't count either. When the Muslim Brotherhood won 70% of the seats along with the Salaf Party in Egypt, that vote doesn't count. We only want people to choose their own future if they comply with America's view of the world. Good grief. He says these are simple truths. No, they're absolute egregious lies. Then he says, but they must be defended. Huh? You just spouted out a whole string of deceptions. And you didn't defend them. You undermined your entire premise. He then says America and our allies, read NATO, will support the people of the Ukraine. No, we're going to support the Ukrainian government, which is a bunch of deadbeats. They are 100% dependent on American aid. Without the $25 billion that we provided them, they would be bankrupt because they've welched on every loan that's ever been offered to them. They've cheated on every international deal. They were the worst hoodlums during the Holocaust. No one was more savage than the Ukrainians. They are resolutely anti-Semitic. Almost all Jews have been run out of the Ukraine. It was once a robust Jewish presence there in the Ukraine. They're all gone. This is a savage people. This is a government that is as corrupt and an economy as filthy and disgusting as any in the world. They are not people that America should be supporting. And they destroy their democracy. And they have no economy. And there is no chance they will ever develop a vibrant economy, no matter how much money America and the West gives them. And then he moves right into the truth. We will reinforce our NATO allies. Yeah, there have been NATO games already played in the Western Ukraine. So it's all about Cold War. The last time America thinks it won a war was during the Cold War, so we're back playing NATO and uphold our commitment to collective defense, collectivism. Once again, that's the theme of this whole speech. We will impose a cost on Russia for aggression, even though America was the aggressor, and counter falsehoods with the truth, even though in this case Russia told the truth and America has been the perpetrator of deception. When you get before a world body and you make your examples all the antithesis of what's true, when you take the approach of underscoring your premise with a pile of lies, when everything that comes out of your mouth is the antithesis of reality, and no one stands up to hold you accountable, evil has won. I'm not challenging this man to bring him down, because there aren't enough Americans with a sufficient backbone to stand up against this kind of evil. We just roll over and play dead as a nation. But I'm pronouncing you dead, America. Poisoned. Sick. Disgusting. We have Glenn on the line. I'd like to get Glenn's comments as we continue through this revolting speech. Hello, Glenn. Good morning. Good afternoon.
Yeah. Good afternoon. Yes. Yada, yada, yada. Why is it you cannot see that we should be funding alabaster statues of the great personages of the likes of Timoshenko, you know, Yatsenyuk, Turchinov, and Klitschko, and Poroshenko? These are the great unifiers that, like Abraham Lincoln, were maintaining the integrity of the Union in the face of those the vehement opposition, the horrible opposition of those commie, pinko, redneck Southerners of Crimea. What's wrong with you?
I understand your sarcasm here, but I'll tell you, I don't think
they're like Abraham Lincoln.
Yeah, I don't think. Well, I'm not a fan of Abraham Lincoln. I don't think, apart from Obama, that there's a more disingenuous cadre of characters on Earth than the government in Kiev. Everything that spewed out of their mouths was untrue. They were the ultimate Chicken Little. The sky is falling, and each time they opened their mouths, they just made a mockery of themselves, of their regime, of everything that was taking place in that country. They had no credibility whatsoever, and it's just astonishing that America sends its vice president there, its secretary of state there, the head of NATO there, the head of the CIA there, and its bankers there to bestow on them $25 billion American taxpayer dollars, all to prop up a military junta that can attack its own people and play Cold War warrior all over again, and then bash the Russians.
Right. The unbelievable hypocrisy. I mean, we're overflying Syria's airspace and bombing and killing their civilians. Well, he's sitting up self-righteously blaming the Russians. I mean, he gave an order of the great threats. He put Ebola as the first threat, Russian aggression as the second threat, and he put Islam after the Russian aggression as a threat to the world.
Actually, he didn't. He never associated Islam with any threat.
Well,
violent extremism. Yeah, but he's actually he did in his speech equate Ebola and Russia.
That was pathetic.
As a leader of America, when you do that against a country like Russia, I mean, it's a proud country with that's in landmass the largest country on Earth in population and the top five or six on Earth in terms of military power, second on Earth, and in terms of raw materials, second on Earth, in terms of just being stupid. Yes. There is a, other than besmirching China, which he does regularly, it's the fastest way to move the world back into world war. And this man has been the antagonist. He is just revolting.
Yes. Yeah, they've been lionizing the government of Ukraine and demonizing the Russians. It's backwards. People forget what has transpired. The same paper tiger, paper moon nature of that coup. You know, to look around, look back, there were two movers and shakers, Klitschko and Turchinov, the boxer and the Baptist pastor, were like little clingers on who were like kicked to the curb immediately. And people forget that Tymoshenko was really the main contact who fomented all the neo-Nazi fascist rebels, the mobs. And Yatsenyuk was the toady who went before the cameras and looked pseudo-intellectual. And then they put Poroshenko in, who's a porn and chocolate king. And now everything's about him.
Yeah, when you are judged by the company you keep, America's keeping some very rotten company. And as a nation, must have contracted the disease of rottenness from the company that we have chosen to keep. Join us. In other words, he wants America, of course, to be the leader of the New World Order because he's the head of America. On the right side of history, he says. By the way, you know, Russia had a long, proud history. Centuries before America was even colonized by Europe. For while small guns can be won at the barrel of a gun, they will ultimately be turned back if enough voices support freedom of nations and peoples to make their own decisions. What a scumbag. America doesn't care what people want. When the people of Crimea voted for independence, we ignored it. When the people of Luhansk and Donetsk, Nova Russia, voted for independence, we ignored it. When the people of Egypt voted for a Islamic government, we embraced that. But then we ignored it when the military junta took over. It's simply untrue that America cares when people make their own choices. And by the way, people making their own choices is democratically is typically bad, not good. That's another myth. Look what happened when in Iraq, people were able to vote for their government, and their clerics, the majority being Shiites, told them to vote for the Shiite candidate that they had appointed. The Shiites dominated the government and created a living hell in that country. And look who is the ultimate barrel of a gun nation. Who's firing more guns and making more guns and using more guns than not only any other nation, but all other nations combined? The United States. Who do we think we are? I mean, God knows who we are. He spoke extraordinarily negatively of America's gun bloat diplomacy in Yeshayah, condemning us. Then he says, moreover, a different path is available. A path of diplomacy and peace. So is that why America invaded Iraq? Is that why America invaded Afghanistan? Is that why America bombed Libya? Is that why America is now bombing Syria? Because a different path is available, the path of diplomacy and peace? If that's a different path, it's for damn sure America's on the other path. And the ideals this institution is designated and designed to uphold. Recent ceasefire agreements in Ukraine offers an opening to achieve that objective. If Russia takes that path, a path that stretches, that four stretches of the post-Cold period resulted in prosperity for the Russian people, then we will lift our sanctions and welcome Russia's role in addressing common challenges. Good God, what a scumbag. It's not a truce. It wasn't a ceasefire. It was a full diplomatic solution of the war that America perpetrated on the ethnic Russian population. And the sponsor of the solution was Russia. This is not like a ceasefire that Russia says, okay, I'll stop sending my troops and my weapons and my army, and I'll stop bombing Kiev. Yeah, boy, bad me. I sent my whole Russian army into Western Ukraine and was bombing Kiev, but boy, those Americans, they promoted a ceasefire, and boy, we're on the right path now. Boy, thank God the Americans came through. Hell no. You had an American-directed and sponsored military in Ukraine murdering thousands of people in the cities of Luhansk and Donetsk. And the Russians stopped it. The Russians came up with the peace plan. It was a Russian peace plan. Period. End of conversation. And that peace plan enables the ethnic Russians in Luhansk and Donetsk to have sovereignty. And it pulls the Ukrainian military out of the region. It was sponsored by Russia.
Yeah.
It isn't a case that the Russians are saying, oh boy, we were bad boys, but okay, we'll accept the terms of this. They promoted it. I mean, you couldn't have a more disingenuous presentation of reality in Ukraine than was just spewed out of this animal's mouth. Glenn will get your comments after the break for the news as we continue with our evaluation of the most revolting speech ever made in front of the United Nations, that of Barack Hussein Obama.